My name's Norina Miller. I'm 28, and today is March 17th, 2011. We're in San Francisco, and I'm here with my friend.
I'm Elizabeth Duram, and I'm 29. It's March 17th, still is, and we're here in San Francisco, and I'm here with Norina, who's my good friend.
You're a good friend, too.
Right. Yeah. So actually, we were just talking as we came into the booth that maybe we should start by thinking about our names or telling about our names. So do you want to maybe say something about that?
It's this funny coincidence that Elizabeth and I are friends, Elizabeth and Norina, because we were each named after these women named Elizabeth and Norina, and they lived together, and they started a spiritual center together, and they traveled to India together, and so they were very important to each of our parents. Independently, our parents didn't know each other.
Right.
And Elizabeth and I became friends probably about 4 years ago.
Or even long? No, yeah, it was 4 years ago, huh?
Maybe longer than that. Maybe it was about 6 years ago before I was diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
Yeah. And so we have had the lovely privilege of traveling to India together and being at the place of pilgrimage where these women went. And we've each been able to go to a center that they started in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I was really hoping that I would get to go to that spiritual center in a couple weeks. It's 500 acres of virgin forest. And it's sort of like in the Las Vegas of the South. There's this amazing refuge. And
in the midst of, like, mini golf galore and, like, crazy beach stores and, like, weird family restaurants.
The center is just... let's see, there are two lakes. There's sand dunes, then the ocean, and just beautiful Spanish moss and this feeling of purity and love. It's different than anywhere I've ever really been.
Right. Like somehow is super peaceful, even though around it is
what's the name of the
funky
center?
Place.
I think it's Meher Spiritual Center.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth was particularly devoted to serving others. And Norina was particularly artistic. And we kind of
fit that
in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Norina was married and Elizabeth wasn't.
I'm not married yet.
No. And so that hasn't really played out in our lives at all. You know, I am creative and I am queer, and maybe Norina was queer. And maybe Elizabeth was, and you're not queer, but you know, there are these sweet similarities, and we're just so lucky to be friends, and lucky that our lives ended up becoming aligned.
Yeah.
So, explain more about the center.
Well, I was gonna say that. So, I actually didn't know that you were gonna be going to Myrtle Beach. In a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm both. Anyway, but I think the context is that now you're not going. So maybe say more about that.
Okay. Yeah. I've had to get regular MRIs ever since December 2005, when we found out that I had a brain tumor.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, sorry to interrupt you. Maybe you want to say more about that? Like, say more about your illness and then...
Yeah, in 2005, in the spring of that year, when I was in San Francisco State's dance company, I started having what I thought were migraine headaches and a strange sensation that we just called the weird thing because nobody understood what it was. And then I went and studied in Spain that fall. And I knew I would miss my family so much, so I just came home for Christmas break and I was seeing double, and we went and we found out that I had a brain tumor. And then I went back to regular life at San Francisco State University instead of going back to Spain. My snowboard is still in Spain. Wasn't worth shipping home.
That's great.
And same with my bank account that they won't let me have access to.
Oh my God. It's
only a few euros. It's dwindling. And so anyway, I found out that I had a brain tumor. The cancer progressed into a more severe cancer 6 months later. And since then, I've had pretty frequent MRIs. I was part of a clinical trial that makes it possible for people with glioblastoma tumors to live for more than about a year, which is when people usually would make it to. And so just getting through those uncertain times, like when I was first in the clinical trial, and it was just kind of month to month, my mom was my main caregiver, and we would go to the center, and it was just like being in heaven, but it was all real, and it wasn't like any sort of religion that was enforced upon us or anything all that different from regular life. And it just made it feel like living here on earth and making it through whatever we need to get through is worth it.
Right.
Just being like being on that bridge by the lake and feeling the breeze come from the ocean and pass across the part of my head with the tumor. It was just like that was the essence of everything being okay.
Right. Like totally perfect.
Yeah.
In that spot.
Yeah. So this, I was okay, and the clinical trial did the trick, and
we all were so psyched.
Yeah.
For so long.
Yeah. And you just make me think so much of the original Elizabeth, because you're so dedicated to serving others, and like she did in Myrtle Beach, serving the Myrtle Beach community. And I've always really admired you and what you do with teaching. And this year I really committed to following that path and entered the Mills College Teaching Credential Program, and unfortunately found out that I had a recurrence in October. And since then, the treatment has not been effective enough. And unfortunately, instead of going to the center in about a week or two, we're going to be staying here, and I'll probably be starting radiation.
Right.
My mom's spring break was coming up, and we were going to try and go for that.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's huge. So, in thinking about going to the center, there's so much that just came up in that last, like, little chunk. But in thinking about going to the center, I think about our trip to India together. And I don't know, I guess maybe I would love if you would talk a little bit about your relationship to India, and not just our trip, because I know you spent a really long time there working with the kids and like volunteering and really having a life in Maribod. Or if you feel like something else is more interesting to talk about, you should.
No, I'm all about remembering those 3 months of living there.
Yeah.
After high school, I just wanted to travel and also be a movie star. And so first things first, go back to India, live there for a while. And I just volunteered at the school nearby, and the school is funded by the Meher Trust. So Mary Baba followers you know, donate money that goes to the clinic that's, you know, open to the general public, and also the school that is open to the general public. And so volunteering there was really tricky at first because it felt like propaganda, and it, because there were Mayor Baba pictures, and they would say, good morning, Jay Baba.
You told me that. Uh-huh.
And it, that just didn't feel right to me. But slowly I just realized how much 5 different religions are broadcasted to them at different times of the day, you know, depending on where they decide to go see a movie, or, you know, whose house they play at later, and which... Anyway, I just started to realize that their the education and the care that they were getting there maybe mattered more than how much they were hearing about Meher Baba.
Right.
As much as I adore Meher Baba and believe in his teachings, I don't think it should be broadcasted on these kids. So there I met the most amazing teacher who I've ever met, and she just inspired me to become a teacher.
Right. How old were
they?
That
could be you, though, too, though, because you're an amazing teacher. I've gotten to meet so many. The kids were, one time I had kindergartners, and there were so many of them, and I had no control, really, over the class at all. And
right.
One of them peed on the carpet, and there was some fighting going on. But Fiona was just, she really knew what she was doing. She started teaching when she was 15, and she was finishing high school at the same time. And then she continued to teach while she was going to college.
Mm-hmm.
And she just took me under her wing and helped me to feel like I belonged there.
Yeah. When you came back, did you... I don't remember whether... I mostly think of when you studied at SF State that you were mostly dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Were you, I guess, say a little bit about, I don't know, more about, like, dance, or whether you were also doing education classes, or sort
yeah.
of what
well,
that college time was.
My friends who wanted me to be really cool like them in junior high, their presence... lasted until about a year ago when I started coming out more, and when I decided I do want to be like my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is a teacher.
Yeah, she teaches art.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And she's awesome too.
Uh-huh, totally. And so I just realized that it's not boring. Mm-hmm. And that it really includes so many of my passions rather than is a matter of discarding my passions.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really take education courses at mm-hmm. San Francisco State. I took a child advocacy course, and that was part of what made me really decide to become a teacher.
Yeah. I think one question as I was thinking about talking to you, I was thinking about your dancing and how I feel like I've seen pictures of you dance, but I haven't really seen your dance as much, which is crazy.
Oh.
And one thing I guess I was thinking a lot about was wondering how dealing with cancer, like, has changed your relationship with movement and dance, if at all.
Yeah. Well, when I first realized that this kind of cancer that I have is really serious, I wanted to make my life less stressful, mm-hmm. and somehow decided to become a teacher in the way that American schools are right now. I don't know how that happened. also making decisions based on love has been really important.
Right.
And so continuing to dance has really been important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't dance as much as I'd like to be dancing. But when I do, it often just makes me feel like I'm growing roots into the ground and like energy is extending infinitely from the top of my head. And just like, this is where I belong. And it definitely helps me to feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care as much what type of dance I do anymore. And sometimes I count going out to the people party in Oakland and just boogieing as like, okay, that's my dance for the week.
Hell yeah. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when I was done with San Francisco State and I was back from Spain, I thought, oh, well, I couldn't do modern dance as much in Spain. So I guess if I have to have cancer and be in the United States, I can dance more. I'm going to become a dancer. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm not becoming bilingual really so much. I'm just going to be a dancer. And then I just had this realization where dancers have to be their own doctors. No one knows your body as well as you do.
Oh.
And I just thought, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to take care of my joints and muscles as much as I'm taking care of my brain and monitoring my stress levels and keeping in touch with doctors, insurance, my diet, da, 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 da.
Right, like so, a whole other level
of
physical taking care.
Mm-hmm. But I still do take care of my body like that.
Yeah.
Just not professionally.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you're always inspiring me to stretch. And, you know, when we're hanging out and you'll be remembering to, like, stretch. And I think, oh, my gosh, Narina's so good about taking care of her body and, like, you know, being... No, you move like a dancer. Anyway, something I think about.
Okay, question for you, Marina.
Mm-hmm.
You said your mom has played a really important role in your time with cancer. Wow. What has she meant throughout the process to you?
I just can't imagine a mother being more strong in a way. Because hearing that your only daughter has a diagnosis where most people don't live for more than a year, it's just devastating. And she just would take it step by step and stay in the moment and understand when I needed her to not ask me about my social life and watch funny movies and just be such an advocate for my health and my needs. And her patience is pretty amazing, even though we have all of our issues and fights. And just spiritually, the amount of love and peace and selflessness and pure happiness she finds in serving other people really inspires me. And I feel more comfortable around her than anybody else in terms of all the down and dirty, like post-surgery, taking care of somebody, that kind of thing.
Seems like her work has also really touched you as well. It's kind of been like this nice convergence of getting to know her as a person and getting to know her work. What inspires you about her work?
Let's see. She really sees students as individuals. And I think that she stays really curious about what is going to work for different individuals in terms of other adults who she's working with, or and in terms of kids most of all. And she's creative when she's creating lessons and such. And such, that's inspiring. And I think that a lot of what I've learned from her about working with young people is just built in, because it's things that she's taught me to do around my brothers, three younger brothers.
I was just going to say.
Well, I'm going to be seeing the two youngest ones. They're going on a tour soon. I'm really not supposed to say the name of their band, but I think the band's changed names by now. Mm-hmm.
That is not kid friendly.
And so they're a lot of fun. Dale has a girlfriend who's really awesome, and they'd carpool with me to community college as I was getting some early childhood education classes done, so that I could work at my mom's school. And so the youngest of all four of us and I were in college at the same time. And Cole is just fantastic. He has a small white dog that he carries in his leather coat right next to him. And he's so fun and funny and smart. And all three of them are like that. Yeah. Lee's married. He lives in Redwood City.
So it's Cole, Lee, and what was the last name?
Dale.
Dale. All right. You guys have about 8 minutes, by the way.
Okay.
How do you think they're doing?
My brothers?
In general, but I think specifically, in terms of this process.
Well, I think that Lee is kind of taxed, because it's a tricky place to be in, to be unemployed and to also have a mom-in-law who has breast cancer and needs help, and to have your the sibling who you've spent the most years of your life with going through what I'm going through. And so he's the one who's closest to everything. Yeah. And in a way, it's easier for him because he can see what's happening. And he is just amazingly strong and awesome. And Cole and Dale, I worry about a little more because they're all the way up in Portland. And it's that unknown zone of not knowing what it's like for me and probably missing us all. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty amazing, the two of them, in terms of dealing with big things in life and just staying positive. When I talked to Cole, that was one of the moments when I most felt positive after initially finding out what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see them soon. We can go to their concert.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you think have been like positive things that have come out of this experience?
Oh. Well, my housemate always says, oh no, there have been so many. Just like being thankful for every day. When it first happened after surgery, I was just thinking, if I can walk, that will be the most blissful thing. Yeah. Just to walk. And so I have to remind myself that when I'm like, oh, who's going to call me? It's Friday at 7 o'clock, whatever. And it's just being grateful and wanting what we have. Like, I just have to remind myself of that. And also to remind myself that I get to not be afraid of knowing about other people's suffering after having suffered to the extent that I didn't ever think that I would. Mm-hmm. And to have faced the possibility of suffering.
Mm-hmm. Wait, say more about that. So you mean like
after
after being told that I was going to die soon, and after being really miserable and having to be on meds that made me act like a different creature altogether, and just living through those things and mm-hmm. living through semi-permanent brain damage, stuff like that, I just now, in terms of those moments when we're hit with other people suffering or with how schools are doing, or it's just the desire to learn more and to step in, mm-hmm. it's easier to walk up to that somehow, not being a little bit afraid of the gut reaction of suffering.
Right. Like, you've already seen it get pretty hard.
And I mean, there are some zones of suffering that are so much more scary and horrible that I have not experienced.
Right.
And I am so thankful for that. And at the same time, that gratitude just makes me want to give back more and more. And also I hope for the humility to just be thankful to be able to walk and to be able to understand someone, to be able to listen, to talk.
Right. There's so much that we could talk about. I don't know.
I know.
I don't really know what direction.
Do you want to say something about me versus your brother? in terms of people you know who have gone through hard things, or how do you find the strength to be so supportive of people who are facing such difficult things?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's it doesn't feel taxing to me. Like, it feels like a real opportunity to, maybe it's easier to say that because it's my brother, right? And he just has had these incredible struggles, and then it's a friend, and so these are people you love, and they are going through just unimaginable things day to day, and so it feels, I guess, in a similar way, like it feels like you learn about what, I mean, I get to learn about what your experience is, and that sounds kind of weird, but, and it's like a really amazing reminder of everything that I have, and in a similar, I guess the similar way of like reminding us to be grateful for all that we have. I don't know if I'm making very much sense.
Like, when you love many people, you live through many people.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that it opens all these doors to the rest of the world, too. Like, I remember when my brother started to really, he was really fully diagnosed as with acute schizophrenia, and it became just really clear exactly kind of how much this was an illness, because before it was brain injury from the car accident, and I feel like this sounds like sort of a cliche or something, but like my whole perspective on the world around me was like just all the fringy people who you see who are just kind of struggling for whatever reason. It was like, oh yeah, my brother was like hanging out under the Burnside Bridge like last month trying to figure out his shit, And, like, it's very close. Like, it's very close. And, like, you don't know what just kind of brings you closer to, like, all these people who otherwise are so far flung. And similarly, right, like, just this idea that we're all, you know, wandering on our paths and, like, encountering suffering and people really far away, you might feel like, I don't understand that. I don't understand their path, their experience. And not just suffering, their celebration and their beauty and, like,
yeah,
all of that, too. And maybe that's the biggest thing, too, is, like, when you say, like, how do you have the energy or whatever, like, being friends with you is, like, not about being friends with someone who has cancer. Like, and when we came in here today, I wanted to be like, we should talk about, like, the kids you teach and your dancing and your amazing art and all of the, like, beauty and you're, like, you're so clear. Like, you're the clearest person. And by I mean that is, like, the way you, like, the way you see things and the way you think, kind of, like, it always feels so true. Like,
thank you.
So, you know, it's, like, all that awesome stuff. Anyway.
I feel like that about you and the way that you think.
Yeah.
And to make decisions.
Right.
We have like 1 minute left. Anything else? Or if you just want to thank each other.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything you feel like you want to say?
No.
Before we go? Okay.
I think that that's a good tidbit.
Okay. Sweet.
Thank you.
Cool.